Father, we're just so thankful that your love never fails. It is incredible. It is incredible. And Holy Spirit, I want to ask that you would give us the constant eyes to see your love. Our eyes take in so many different things, and some of them are discouraging, and so many of them are heartbreaking. We watch the news, and we ask why, and sometimes, Lord, into our hearts and into our mind creeps the question, where is the Lord? What in the world? So I pray, Father, in the midst of that, you would help us to have the eyes to see that your love never fails and to be able to identify the movement of your spirit and the call of your voice into our lives, that we can be instruments of your love to those who suffer, those who are broken, those who are lost, those who hurt, those who are abandoned. Help us, Lord. And as we think this morning about some of these things, and some of the opportunities that we're called to in this broken and hurting world, I pray, Father, that you dispatch your spirit in a special way, that our hearts and our lives and our minds would be molded and shaped and transformed, so that all that we are and all that we do as individuals and, as Amy says, as a body, as a plural you, would bring glory to you. So come and speak to us now, we pray, through Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. So it's Labor Day weekend, a celebration of labor and of work. And work is good. It's a good thing. It's a blessing of God, and it's a good. But I'll tell you, maybe you're like me, that very often we have this experience when it seems like maybe work, what we've done, is a waste of time. Or maybe it's even worse than a waste of time. Maybe it kind of feels like you're going backwards. Have you ever had one of those times? Man, all the mums are, well, actually all the wives are like, but anyway, I had one of those Monday. Monday I got to work, and after a little while I had to go to the bathroom. So I get up from my desk and I start walking over to the bathrooms over here on this east side, and I smell sewer gas. And then I remember, oh yeah, on Sunday I could kind of smell that too. What's going on? And I go in and there's a lady's toilet that's out of order, it says there, and I can see that all the water's all evaporated out of there. I guess I'll need to pour some water out there until they get decent, get it fixed or whoever. And so then I say, okay, I'll go down to the kitchen and I'll go and get a pot and get some water, and then I'll fill this up. So I start walking down there, and I get down into that hallway, and as I'm walking past the men's bathroom there, I remember, oh yeah, I've got to go to the bathroom. I'm a little ADD, you know. So I go into the men's bathroom, and I go to there, and I see that the toilet isn't flushed. Oh man. So I flush the toilet, and then I realize, oh no, it's not that the toilet isn't flushed, it's that the toilet is plugged. So you know what happens? Pretty soon you see that water and other stuff rising to the surface, and you don't want that all over your shoes and your feet. And so, you know, I rip off the top of the toilet, ready to lift up the little lever to stop the water flowing, to turn the water off. Inadvertently, I disconnect some hose. And pretty soon there's water. I'm just spraying my face. I can't see a thing. My hair's soaking. My shirt's soaking wet. The water's spraying all over the partition there. And I'm trying to fight back this water. I'm reaching down to get to that valve, which is kind of stuck, and then the water's spraying. I'm thinking all this time, Jones, this is why we have deacons. This, read a book and tell people what it's like. There's water all over. Finally, I get the thing shut down, and I wipe my mouth off and take my glasses off. And I walk over to dry off a little bit, and oh, there's no paper towel in the thing. And I go there and I go into the next door with the paper towels. Oh, there's no paper towel in there either. We're even out of the paper towel. So then I finally go to the ladies' washroom. Sorry, ladies. Thankfully, this is early in the morning, so that was okay. So I towel off, and okay. So then I go back in and reconnect the hose and all this kind of stuff. And then, I got this. So then I go down to continue on my way down to the kitchen to get the pan, to put the water in the pan, to put in the ladies' bathroom that's broken, so that the sewer gas doesn't keep coming up, what I started out to do. Well, second thing I was going to do. So I go to the kitchen, and there's all these pans on top of the stove and the shelf there. So I take this pan off, and I put some water in it. So I start walking down the hallway, and then I hear this cascade of smashing and crashing, and I realize I've disturbed the delicate balance of equilibrium that held all of these pots and pans up in there. I walk in there. It's just a terrible mess, and I've got to restack all these pots and pans and all these kind of things. I go back, and I finally put the water in there. I go back, and I sit down at my desk, and I think, that sucked. And Sheena came a little bit later to work, and I whined her, and she said, well, you don't look very wet.
I didn't feel my shirt.
I said, oh, I'm sorry, honey. So then I felt better. You've had that experience. Well, work seems not only like it's a waste of time, but it's throwing you backwards in life. And it happens in our work for the kingdom too, doesn't it? I mean, if we're a follower of Jesus, we serve. It's sort of definitive. But sometimes this work that we do, this kingdom life that we live, this pouring out of our hearts and our souls and our bodies and our energy and our finance and everything, sometimes it feels like not only does it not make a difference, it even throws me back a little bit. And many of you have had the experience where your honesty at work has maybe alienated you from your workmates or maybe even the supervisor. And you think, wow, I didn't feel so good. Maybe you've been witnessing the love and the grace of Jesus to friends and family for years, or maybe even children, and it comes down and they finally get to understand the gospel and they say, you know what, that's not for me. And maybe you've been serving, and in your attempts at serving, you've been misunderstood. And maybe even accusations come flying at you. Maybe those accusations spread through the community of faith, and then you begin to see that people are looking at you a little bit differently, and it's all based on something that was just a mistake. It didn't really happen. It was just some misunderstanding. And maybe you've been walking with some folks who just keep stumbling again and again and again, and it's been years and it's been scores of times, and you begin to wonder, man, maybe they're never going to be able to break out of this. Maybe they're just kind of stuck there and the gospel is not going to make the difference. Maybe you've served and you've loved and you've given of your time and energy to the point where it's affected your health and your finances and your relationship with your spouses and other people. And you get done and you think, oh man, that not only was a waste of time, but I feel like I've gone backwards in my own life, let alone the life of others. You know, sometimes between not seeing the results that we pray for and perhaps even feeling like we've gone backwards, sometimes the kingdom work and kingdom life feels a whole lot like a bunch of blood, sweat, and tears. And we get to the point in life sometimes where we say, you know what? I'm just going to go play golf and advance in my career, and Jesus, you can take care of that stuff. Do it yourself if that's how you're going to treat me. Fine. But there's a passage of scripture which for me at least, I heavily suspect, but not only for me, but also for you, if you can allow the Spirit to take it and to drive it deep into the center of your heart, if you can allow your life to really grasp it and stand upon it as something solid when these feelings and these disappointments come flooding in on us, if you can just allow the Spirit to massage your heart in the midst of it, at least for me, and I hope and pray for you, it makes all of the difference in the world. Now the message, the point of the passage is this. I hope. Boop. When it comes to kingdom work, it's all about blood, sweat, and tears. It feels sometimes like it's blood, sweat, and tears, but it's blood, sweat, and tears. Now this passage, it's just a little verse. And to be honest with you, it's a verse that for many, many years, I just kind of read over it because it seems kind of anticlimactic to what's going on in the passage, and I never really paid much attention to. But it changed my life. And it's this verse right here. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. Now listen. To really get the impact of that verse, I've got to back way up and give you some context. And I hope we don't lose the power of that in the depth of the context, because it's really quite important. So let's break things apart. Let's first of all talk about blood, and then we're going to talk about sweat, and then finally we'll get to this whole thing about cheers, okay? First little section here, blood. you notice that this passage was written to the church at Corinth. You see, that's 1 Corinthians, right? And so the city of Corinth, remember, it was a large cosmopolitan city. It controlled the commercial traffic between Asia and Italy and Rome. So it was a very wealthy, it was a relatively new city. It had been destroyed, but a few years before that, Julius Caesar had rebuilt it. And it was a rich city, a port city. And it was full of all of the vice and all of the money and all of the excitement and all of the everything else that happens in those kind of cities. And in that city, there's a great variety of religious experiences. People came from all over the commercial world to meet there. And the church in Corinth, as you know, had all kinds of problems. And we could itemize them all out. There's all kinds of problems. But one of the big problems, and this is what's relevant for us today, one of the big problems is that there was this teaching that had snuck into the church at Corinth that said, you know what's important? What's important is your spirit. What's important is not so much what we feel and touch and see. No, what's important is that part of you that's going to be eternal, that's going to float away when we finally get rid of all this material stuff. That's what's important. That's what's, your spirit, that's what counts. And now the problem is with that teaching is that it's false to begin with, but the implications of that were devastating for the church, and they'll be devastating for us if we fall into it, and devastating for the world, for the cosmology, for the earth. You see, the whole idea was that they said this: listen, if the body and what you do with the body doesn't matter for eternity, the body doesn't matter for now either. So you can do whatever you want with your body. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you'll die. Go ahead and go visit the shrine prostitutes. Go ahead. All of these. And that's why Corinthians got all this stuff about sexuality, because they said, only thing that counts is your spirit. Your body's going to burn up or whatever anyhow. Only the spirit. So what you do with your body and what you do with the earth, it just doesn't matter. And the second thing is they said, so this whole resurrection thing, it's a bunch of bunk. There's no resurrection. The body's just a waste. The body, as a matter of fact, the body's kind of negative. So let's just dump that baby and forget about resurrection and think about flying away as a little spirit. Now, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is the biggest, most important, most developed, most centralized treatment of resurrection that there is in the New Testament. And Paul writes it because he's trying to explain to them, listen, you need to understand flesh, blood, and resurrection. Verse 3. And I've got it up here. Verse 3. Back up on. Verse 3 kind of is the gospel in a nutshell, right? For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The gospel in a nutshell, they call that. And Paul's pointing out, listen, the first thing you need to understand is that the blood of Christ is very important. He died for our sins. The blood of Christ wipes out our sins, but down to our sin. But here's the deal. The resurrection of Jesus deals with death. The resurrection of Jesus deals with what's going to happen with this body, because it's not just our spirit that flies away. The whole thing about Christian teaching that was different than other people was that the body is resurrected because it's important. Jesus' resurrection ensures our resurrection. That's what chapter 15 is kind of all about. Now, okay, here's the deal. This is the critical part, okay? So you've got to really focus for a minute here, because we're going to carry on not just for today, but for your life. There's a continuity and a discontinuity in resurrection, okay? There's a discontinuity. As a matter of fact, he says in this passage, hey, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, right? Verse 50, you look down there, you'll see it. It says that. And so sometimes what we think, though, is that means, oh, then this body is useless. But no. There's a discontinuity where this perishable, rotting, breaking down, sore back, sore knee, going blind body is failing, But here's what we've got to realize. There's also some kind of a continuity into the new creation when Jesus is revealed in all his fullness that carries on. Think about Jesus. Remember Jesus? You don't really remember him because you never met him that way, but remember the story of Jesus and the event of Jesus and his resurrection. Remember he died, crucified, laid in the dead, rose from the dead. Then he comes and he appears to people, right? Now there's some weird stuff about Jesus' body, right? He can walk through walls. He can just kind of appear and disappear. Whoa! And there he is. So there's some discontinuity. But there was also some continuity, wasn't there? What were some of the continuity? What were some of the things about Jesus with his new resurrected body and his old body? What are some of the things? Like, you've heard of Jesus and the story. Raised from the dead. Appeared. Tight. Holds in my hands. Holds my hands. In my side. They recognize him, right? So there's some way in which there's a discontinuity with my body and your body when it gets raised up again. But there's also a continuity. There's something that happens. We spoke a couple of weeks ago, you'll remember, that there's a continuity and a discontinuity between the first creation which we live in now and the new creation which Jesus is building even now. As one scholar said, hey, heaven is great, but it's not the end of the world. Now you just think about that phrase a little bit. Heaven's great, but it's not the end of the world. Because this new creation, there's going to be some discontinuity. The curse of sin is going to be gone. All that stuff. But there's also some continuity. There's a new creation. So here's the implication. And this is what you've got to know. There's a continuity between what we do now and what happens when the new creation is completed. Okay? This I'm telling you, this changes everything if we really understand what's going on. It changes how we view ourselves. It changes how we view our body. It changes how we treat the earth. The implication of this, you think about this through the week. It's just, you get that, you write that down. If you don't write anything else down, you write that down. You think about the implications. There's some kind of a continuity between what we do now and what happens when creation is completed. So let's now get back into what we were saying. So, this whole chapter is all about the resurrection and Christ's resurrection carries on resurrection, and we're going to get new bodies, whether we're dead or whether we're alive and he's revealed in the twinkling of an eye, all of that stuff. And then he comes to this incredible climax. He says this, listen, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, with this new body, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the defeat of death. And now as we go through this, and he's listening to this incredible chapter on resurrection, and this marvelous thing about the perishable is going to be replaced by the imperishable, and there's going to be this new creation. I mean, you would kind of expect him to say, man, you know, so just hang on, because it's going to be awesome. Wait until you get this new, wait until you see this new creation. You know, kind of suffer through it right now, hold your breath, but it's coming. But he doesn't say that at all. He does this whole thing about the resurrection. This whole thing about this new creation. This whole thing about what's happening. And this is how he concludes. Therefore, do not miss that word. In other words, what he's saying is, hey, there's this incredible truth that your body is going to be resurrected and it's going to be clothed and made imperishable. Therefore, but here's the consequence. Here's the application. Here's the implication. Here's how you apply it to your life right now, this minute, today. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Might feel like it, but that's a lie. Now, that's the blood the blood of Christ, which brings in the resurrection of the body of Christ, giving it all resurrection. Let's think now about the sweat, because that's what comes out of this. And it's called sweat because kingdom living in light of the resurrection is hard. It's hard. This Christian life, it's hard. To live fully for Jesus, it's hard. And it's hard in a couple of different ways. The first thing he says is, listen, what I want you to do, I need you to stand firm. Well, why do you need to stand firm? I'll tell you why you need to stand firm. Because you're going to face opposition. Because the forces of darkness are going to come against you. Now, this whole idea of being stand firm means don't get thrown off course. Hey, as a matter of fact, it's a stronger word than that. What it actually says, what it actually means is, be not capable of moving. It's a pretty strong word. All of this discouragement, all of this attack, all of the enemy, all of this whatever, all of this hurt, it's going to come against you. Be so that you cannot be moved. You stand in the power of the Holy Spirit against the onslaught of darkness. Don't be thrown off course. There's all kinds of things that can throw us off course. In the Corinthian case right here, he's talking about bad doctrine. He's saying, listen, if you fall into this idea that what goes on earth right now doesn't matter, that your body doesn't matter, that the earth doesn't matter, that your efforts and energy and prayer, if you think that doesn't matter, you're going to be thrown off course. And so sometimes bad doctrine like no resurrection and what to do with our body doesn't matter throws it off course. But sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's hurt and disappointment, isn't it? You know, when we were talking about this passage, you know, we've got our little study group there. And Hockley, my buddy there in BC, I forget how we were talking about this, but in this context, he said, you know, the thing we've got to realize is that heaven has a different idea of beauty than we do. Coming out of Revelation, remember, because we've all been studying Revelation, right? He said, you know, you think about that, right at the beginning of Revelation, remember the whole deal. Who can only see? Behold the Lion of Judah. Remember that? And so we think about this beautiful, majestic, marvelous, fearsome, fully maned, roaring, bright-eyed lion, right? We've got posted these lions. He says, then I looked and what did I see? I saw a little lamb as though it had been slain, throat slit, bloodstained. And he said, and the thing is that in heaven, that's beauty. The sight of having suffered for the kingdom. The idea of being hurt for the kingdom. You see, the scars we get on earth become beauty marks in the kingdom. I want you to think about that. The scars you get on earth for kingdom living, they become beauty marks in the new creation. And so you're ridiculed for your faith. That hurts. It's a scar on your heart. But it becomes a beauty mark in the new creation as it's transformed. You're unappreciated and even criticized for serving in some way. It scars our heart because we don't understand. We just wanted to love this person. We just wanted to lay ourselves out for this person. And in turn, we get around and we get bit for it. And man, that hurt, that scars our heart. It makes us want to quit. It makes us wonder, man, is this worth it? But God says, listen, 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 that scar of hurt that you got, maybe from people who are supposed to love you, that scar, it's going to be a beauty mark in the new creation. And maybe you were abandoned by friends. They turned your back on you. And it hurts. And it scars our soul. Listen, listen to that scar. That scar of rejection from your friends. It's going to be a beauty mark in the new creation. You know, Gordon Fee points out that in this very chapter, in this very verse, Paul himself, he begins the first couple of verses by saying, man, have all my life, has it been in vain? Because you reject me as an apostle. You throw me out. You're going with these other yahoos who just come in and mess them. Has it all been in vain? No, no, no.
Paul said, but then I remember the resurrection and I remember the continuity and I remember that my labor in the Lord today, the scars that I receive today from being rejected from the church that I planted, it becomes a beauty mark in heaven. I mean, it's not new news. Jesus tells us that, you know, in the foundational message about the kingdom, he says, listen, blessed are you, happy are you, beauty marked are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you. And so sometimes we have to stand firm when we're deeply wounded. And we just remember, this feels right now like this ain't worth it. Why did I open my mouth? Why did I do it? Why did I? And you just remember, that scar that you get for kingdom life on earth, it's a beauty mark in the new creation. Well, the next thing he says about sweat is simply quite the hard work. He says, listen, give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Now, this word fully, it literally means to be overflowing, to have it sort of gushing out, to do more and more and more and more of it, to make the work of the Lord, to make the serving of God, to make the kingdom attitude and the kingdom life, make that the priority of your life. Let you just gush with kingdom work, with kingdom grace, with kingdom love, with kingdom forgiveness, with kingdom service. Let it just gush from you. Give yourself fully, gush with the work of the Lord. You know this word work? You know what its emphasis is? The emphasis is to work until fatigued. Somehow we get this idea that I think that you know, the work for the Lord, you know, it shouldn't be that hard and we should all be appreciating it. It should be marvelous and it should be easy and we should see results right away and we can just kind of fit it into the rest of your life. You say, no, you need to understand something. You, in response to the resurrection, because what's going on is that you are being a part of the kingdom building, what you need to do is give yourself fully to the work and you work at it until you're exhausted. And it's hard. Especially if we don't see the results, and especially when we've got these competing things. But when we're thinking about Labor Day, we need to remember that our labor for the Lord that scars our hearts, that become beauty marks, it's hard and it's exhausting and it's tired. But God says, listen, in light of the resurrection, keep going. Pour it out. Now that sounds tough. Why in the world would we do that? I'll tell you why. Because of the tears. The blood and the sweat and the cheers. Oh man, this is the part that I want to focus on, man. I mean, that other stuff, I don't really like to think about it because we all experience it. Oh man, it's good enough. What's the deal with the cheers? You see, all of this standing firm, all of this hard work is not in vain. Why? Because we are building for the new creation. Understand this. Don't make a mistake. Never forget this. It is God, Jesus Christ, who's building his kingdom. There's no doubt about it. But in his amazing grace, he asks you, hey, Cam, come here and help me build my new creation. And we've all heard the illustrations 1,000 times, right? About building the big cathedrals in Europe, you know, it took X number of generations. And some guys, you know, they work in the backside of things, chipping out little piece of stone or maybe a gargoyle that nobody else will see. But they did it because they understood we're a part of something much bigger. And this work that we do for the Lord, this loving and serving and giving and forgiving and carrying and all those things to the point of exhaustion, even when we're scarred and thanks, we get a kick in the teeth, even in spite of, no, we do this. Why? Because God is saying, I'm building this new creation, and what you do now is going to get carried into the new creation. Our labor is not in vain. Because every single thing you do for the kingdom right now, even if it's rejected on earth, even if it wounds your heart right now, God says, listen to me, it is not in vain. I'm going to turn that into a beauty mark in glory, and you are building the new creation. Everything that you do, there's this continuity that God is somehow going to use it for the new creation. There's a quote on the front of your bulletin. You'll be surprised that it's by Tom Wright. But here's what it says. I hope. Well, didn't I put that quote in? Oh, there we go. Good. What they, that is Christians, what we do in the Lord during the present time. Look at this. Listen to me, please. Understand what the resurrection means. When you're scarred and you're wounded and you want to not stand firm and you want to give up and you want to play golf and you say, well, I may as well focus on my career. Please, 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 please. Listen to this. What you do in the Lord during the present time will last. It will matter. It will stand for all time. How God will take our prayer, our art, our love, our political action, our music, our honesty, our daily work, our pastoral care, our teaching, our whole selves, how God will take this and weave its various strands into the glorious tapestry of his new creation, we at present have no idea. That he will do so is part of the truth of resurrection and is perhaps one of the most comforting parts. It matters. Your labor for the kingdom lasts for all eternity. And when you feel scarred, and when you feel exhausted, and when you feel like maybe I've gone backwards instead of forward in the whole front of things, you remember, hey, give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Because my labor for the Lord, your labor for the Lord, every smile that you give a broken down teller, every cup of water you give a thirsty person, every piece of clothing you pass on, every letter of encouragement that you write, every class that you teach, every act of standing up for honesty and every act of standing up for the dignity of other people, every single one of those things, even though you might be scarred for it, every single one of them is somehow carried in the heart of the living God and is used to form the new creation. And if we remember that, and if you'll allow the Spirit to drive that into your heart, then when you think about the work of the kingdom, you'll say with Paul, the kingdom work, it's all about blood, sweat, and tears. Almighty God, This is almost too hard to believe. How could me treating a wounded person kindly last into eternity? How could those times when I've spoken or served and been totally misunderstood and been attacked for it? How could those times when I've been vulnerable with my struggles and my challenges and how your grace has covered that over, how and people use it against it, how could that be carried into eternity? How could staying up late at night to prepare a class for a bunch of kids who it seemed like they really don't pay much attention? How does holding my child when they're crying and weeping and they grow up to not really want much to do with me? How does that scars our heart, how is that carried into the kingdom? We don't know. I don't know. But you know. You know and you do it. And so I pray for me and I pray for my brothers and sisters who strive and desire to be faithful in love and in grace and in service and in celebration of truth, who have stood and had the force of darkness come against them. It's hard to stand firm. who've done their best and been wounded, not just by the world, but maybe even by their brothers and sisters, and scarred in their hearts. Lord, I pray that you give us all a vision, not just for the discontinuity of creation where the curse is going to be gone and that's all going to be good and get to grow veggies without vegetables, without weeds or whatever, but how those very scars become beauty marks in the kingdom, in the new creation, and how nothing we do by your Spirit in the name of Jesus is ever forgotten by you. And remind us that we are building for the kingdom which our Savior is putting together. In Christ's name.